Okay, so I'm glad to be here. And have you ever been to Korea? Have you been to South Korea? None of you? Well, me neither, before I went there last February to start the, we started a new department called Knowledge Service Engineering. And I can say that Korea is really an unbelievable country, that the economic growth in Korea, it has been the faster and bigger than any other country in the OECD members within the last 10, 15 years. So it's really wealthy country. So, and I don't think there will be any war, so I can recommend you to go there anytime you have a chance. For example, to see the capital of Korea, which is Seoul. And regarding this presentation, I think Dr. Mansebo took the photocopies of... Do you have the photocopies? Not yet, maybe, but you will later have the papers, so you can look what I'm going to talk about. So I will talk about knowledge service engineering and how we can use this new area to improve safety. I have three main topics. First, I introduce quickly the KAIST, which is best engineering university in Korea, Korea Advanced Institute of Science and Technology, in the town called Daesan. And the new Department of Knowledge Service Engineering that was started there last year, February 2009. Second topic will be project proposal called MASLI. This is a proposal we have submitted in, to funders in Korea and in Finland. It's about safety in public buildings, how we use knowledge service engineering to improve proactively the safety in public buildings. And the last topic will be a little bit about some of the part of the methodology, which is the ontology-based resource management, and how we can use that in practice to improve safety. Okay, first couple words about KAIST. You can go to the website kaist.edu, and you can see it's in English. You can see the different programs we have. That's the new research building. They built by donation there. Lots of people are donating money to KAIST. So if somebody has good research results, he or she can get office in this new nice building. So please take a look. They have an open invitation to visiting students. There are open faculty positions. You can apply if you want to work there, or you can send your students there to visit, for example, to my department. And then let's go to the knowledge service. So basically the background is that, or the current reality is that the knowledge-intensive tasks range from conventional manufacturing and transportation systems to financial, educational, service, government, and social systems, and also including safety aspect of all these areas. And because of internet, we have a huge amount of accessible and affordable knowledge all over the internet and all over the information networks. That's kind of waiting to be used. But the reality is that not very often we actually utilize such an information network fully for decision making or to improve safety. Because information overload, as you know, there's too much information. How do you know what is relevant, what's important for you? We have a limited cognitive capacity in our minds. Ill-tuned communication, ill-designed cooperation between humans and machines, and so on. So there's lots of potential. So basically the problem or the opportunity, we can see it both ways. I see it as an opportunity is to how to acquire and utilize knowledge. And we have two components. We have something we can measure, machines, factories, and we have the human component as well, which is equally or more important than the mechanical one. This is the startup for the knowledge service engineering. And 2 years ago, Korean government started the Ministry of Knowledge Economy, 2008, because they have a vision that the knowledge industry or knowledge service industry will be one of the seven growth areas in the economy in Korea in the future. So they are heavily investing money to knowledge services and knowledge acquisition and knowledge utilization practices. And KAIST is part of this vision that Korean government has. So the knowledge service engineering department at KAIST was established to realize high performance joint cognitive systems that comprise both human and information networks. And I think that from this you can see the connection to safety. If we can do this, we can improve safety in a proactive manner. We can maybe prevent accidents before they even happen. And this knowledge service engineering department is the first such department in the whole world. What is knowledge service engineering? I put here some of the existing definitions. If you look at the what is knowledge service, you can find this all from Wikipedia or anywhere in the internet. So knowledge service provides access to available knowledge. This already exists. And then knowledge engineering builds, maintains, and develops knowledge-based systems. And then service science, launched by IBM a few years ago. I don't know if you are aware of this IBM initiative of knowledge, service science, is about study, design, and implementation of service systems, complex systems in which specific arrangements of people and technologies take actions that provide value for others. So then again, look at the green ball. We can actually start from the bottom. You can see that we can simply define knowledge service engineering as engineering behind knowledge services. What we have to do, what kind of methods, techniques we have to use to really acquire and utilize human networks and information networks, such as internet or sensory data from factories. So this was quick background about to our department, and I will show you one concrete project proposal we have submitted to funders in Finland and in Korea. It's called a MASLI. I show you what it means. It's about safety in public buildings, and it can quite easily be converted to safety in industrial facilities as well. There's a existing research about safety culture ontology, which basically attempts to specify all the important concepts of safety. This was done for nuclear industry originally. It has been used in mining industry in Finland, chemical industry here in Spain, led by Dr. Mancebo. So from this ontology, we can see that we have to consider technological aspects, systems level aspects, frameworks, methodologies, and people who are kind of stakeholders and users of buildings. So people who work there, people who regulate them, people who finance them, people who visit there. So there are all kinds of people who have some kind of connections to public buildings or industrial facilities. Here's a picture. We have technological aspects to safety, things we can measure. We have systems level understanding, frameworks, methodologies. And on top of all, we have people. A people aspect, which is the most critical one. Kind of we can think of as layers. Here you can see a list of the concepts that was defined in the research by Salo and Halima, 2007, 2008. These are the concepts which are important to promote and sustain safety in industrial settings. And you can see there are many, many things, such as working environment, safety directions, leadership, atmosphere, safety policies, and so on. So how are we going to then use this in real life? So first of all, new technology enables us to measure our environment. For example, industrial environments we can measure. We have all kind of sensory data. We can measure our processes. We can measure our temperatures, air quality, process flows, and so on. So we have lots of data available. And recent development in sensory technology enables us to set up new kinds of more advanced measurements to our working environment. But that's not enough. This is for the information part, information network. We can think as like that. But we must also somehow measure humans. But how do we measure human networks? So we have to basically somehow involve people in a collective manner in a network and somehow incorporate their perception of safety aspects, of safety concepts in our decision making. So we have to be able to provide such channel to humans. You can, for example, think of mobile devices, which we always use, or our laptops. Some simple way that people, we enable people to insert the perception of certain safety concepts that are around them. So if we can do that, we can have a real-time kind of intelligent or smart safety and security system in the buildings, which is kind of, we can say it's a live situation, because when we measure things, we can make proactive measures after we analyze the data. But as soon as we involve human network in this kind of manner, we have a live situation, we have a living system in the buildings that that makes quick decisions and can prevent accidents in a proactive manner. But that's not enough. We have to synthesize the measured data and perceived safety concepts from both networks, information networks and human networks. We must have some kind of layer that links all inputs, outputs, people, and inner and outer actors to each other. These inner outer actors, we can think of, they are the maintenance people, police, authorities, fire departments, medical authorities, and so on. So basically, all the authorities and people who have some kind of business or connection to that building, to the building, will be connected to this live safety layer, as I will show you soon. And as a final part, we must have some kind of physical, organizational, or conceptual area that needs attention immediately. We must have a built-in inform or information system or alarm that immediately alarms the relevant actors. Here's a picture. You can think of, you can see in the center, we have ontology, some kind of safety ontology that specifies all those important aspects and concepts related to safety in public buildings or in industrial buildings. This is the core. And the idea is that that we really remember all those areas which are important, and we don't forget things. So you can see that we have it's a live situation in a building, in a public building. We have this layer or link layer, as I told you, that connects all the inputs and outputs to each other. So we can have a live situation, live safety situation. We have modern sensory input from all over the buildings. We can be measuring all kind of things, temperatures, gas, air quality, process flows, all these things we can measure. So we have basically information networks. We have modern software components to build a very simple interface to people that we can always, just simply with, for example, with your finger, you can insert your perception about your safety. Because somehow people have, you know that you have the ability to feel something which you cannot even see it. We have because we are animals, we survived in nature, it's kind of like a sixth sense. So people feel more than they can really see with their eyes yet, or they can really describe it. But we all have some kind of feeling of safety, and we cannot explain why we have this. And if we can input this perception to the live safety layer, we can alarm all the actors and relevant authorities immediately. So we have service partners. We can have municipal authorities such as doctors, hospitals, so on, or we can have commercial service providers, security companies, transportation companies, and so on, all linked to the same safety layer. We have a database, of course. We have a collective. Collective is important. We have a collective perception of safety at that moment, at that department, at that place, all over the building. And so basically these are the components that we need to have live safety system in a building. I will show you in the next part, I will show you how we can do it. But how if you are interested in participating in this project proposal applications, you can contact me or you can contact Dr. Mancebo here in Spain. We are planning to have a joint project between Korea and Finland, maybe even European Union project. We have enough company funding already from Finland, so we have participating companies are kind of ready, so we just have to submit the application. So if you have any interest in talking about this proposal or joining as academic partner or industrial partner, please contact me or Dr. Mancebo. Okay, now I will show you how we can, in practice, how we can incorporate the human component into this system. So we already know how to measure things, how to synthesize things, analyze things, but how do we then, in practice, in real life, participate or enable people to participate in live safety situation? In order to get the grasp of the safety situation, we need to precisate on three levels. Precision means something like how to make precise or how to define and focus. You will see after these slides what I mean. But this term comes from actually from fuzzy logic, where we are trying to precisate concepts. So the first level is that we have to precisely define what are the concepts of safety. That's the first level of precision. Second needed level of precision is ontology level, where we collect the concepts and we link them to each other in certain domain, such as safety in public buildings or safety in industrial settings. And the third level of precision is that we involve people collectively through these three levels to life safety situation. Here I put one concept. You can think of concept, for example, safety training. We know all this, know that the concept exists, but we cannot see it. We looked, it's there, but we cannot see anything. So how do we get a grasp of it? So we know that each concept has different kind of characteristics. So you can easily think of safety training, and you can think different kind of aspects which are related to safety training concept. And these characteristics of the concept, they result perceivable evidences of their existence at workplaces. So depending how you have set up that concept, in this case safety training concept in your organization, there is some kind of evidence in your organization. And the evidences kind of indicate what's the status of this concept in your surroundings. And for people, the key point is that the people who work there or use the building, the evidences of the concept is much more visible than the concept itself. So if you ask from people, what is the level of our safety training, they are not able to really tell you. But if you ask about the evidence, which is perceivable to all of us, everybody can see them, is familiar, semantics to all of us, anybody can say that it's like this and it's like that. And each concept can have a number of indicators. You can think of, I tried to make the drawing so that it has different kind of characteristics, like here is this kind of curve, like that. So we try to address all the important characteristics of concepts. And some indicators are stronger than other ones. So for example, here I try to make an arrow a little bit thicker or thinner. So if people can perceive that we have something like this we are doing at workplace, that can be a very strong indicator for this concept. But then you can have some weaker indicators that really don't tell so much, but have a weaker link to the concept. And maybe the key point is that the semantics, these are like the semantic layer between the people who work, are doing their work, and some safety concept. Because people are familiar with the concept or semantics they are doing their work with, but they are not familiar with the safety concepts. At least most of them are not. So people can perceive such indicators quite easily. So this would be how we can precisate safety concepts on the first level, on the concept level. This is the principle. The second level of precision is ontology level. Ontology term comes originally from philosophy, where refers to a systematic account of existence. And later, it has been used by engineers, by many kind of disciplines, by computer people. There are many different kind of definitions for ontology, but I think that this one by Gruber, 1993, is quite a good one. So ontology refers to an explicit specification of the conceptualization of a domain. So we are trying to explicitly specify safety concepts. That's it. It's not enough that we say that this is the list of the concepts. We have to also explicitly specify them in this way. Otherwise, we are talking. But in this way, we can really take action. So we are really trying to set up a base for people to understand what are the concepts related to safety in this case. And as soon as we do it, as soon as we specify an ontology, a safety ontology, we have actually set up a platform for people to understand safety and share information about safety and communicate about safety. And vice versa, if you think that if we don't specify such ontology, we have no base of communicate with each other about safety issues. We are just talking, but we really don't know what we are talking about or what the other person is, how he or she understands safety. But if we have specified an ontology, then we know exactly what we are talking about. There are three important components in ontology. Classes, so we have safety concept 1, 2, 3. For example, this is a class or concept, one example. So we have a number of classes here. We can have higher level classes, lower level classes. That's the most important component, or one component. Second component is the relation. So we are kind of defining the relationship between the components. Which safety components are related to each other, concepts, which belong to some under some top level concept. Roughly, it's really like dynamic, but we can roughly say that, for example, if we have, you can think of animals, we have meat eaters, we have herbivores, which eat vegetables or plants. We can have dogs, wolves, so on. And finally, when you go to the final level, we have individuals, instances. These are the individual people. Or, for example, Dr. Mansebo is an instance. She's an individual. So she's an individual in this safety ontology. And in this case, how she perceives the safety based on such ontology, we can call it an instance. Or, for example, University of Girona, that's an instance. We can think of the safety in this building. That's one individual case. So this is the second level of precision of safety. And we can later talk more if you're interested, but basically how we build ontologies is the same process as how you develop new products. It's the normal product development process. So if you want to develop a safety ontology, these are the normal steps of product development. Feasibility study, kickoff, refinement, evaluation, application. This is normal. So there's no magic. It's just research work. You can do it with master students, doctoral students, and so on. One more thing I want to say about the how to build ontologies is that one aspect is that we can have some concepts which are external to all of us. For example, if you look at some process, there's a teaching process or learning process at this university, they are external objects to all of us. We can all observe them. So that means that these indicators are perceivable to all of us, right? But if you think of human competence, human aspect, or human part of safety concept, for example, from competence point of view, these are internal objects, and you are the only one who can really perceive them. So this is called introspection. So you are looking kind of inside of you. Extrospection, external concepts, and introspection, the internal concepts. So probably the safety ontology has both. Both kind of concepts are very important. I will jump over this one. So then the third level of precision of safety is the situation. There's a every moment the situation is different in a factory or at university or any industrial facility. So we have to ask, how do people perceive the indicators of safety ontology? These. How do people perceive these indicators at any moment? At their work. Then, if we can somehow capture this kind of instance, so we can say that an individual perception of safety ontology indicators, we can call it like a safety instance, for example. If we can capture this, we can capture the life situation, life safety situation in a company, in public building. There was, I think, last year, within last 3-4 years, there was two or three very sad cases in Finland where some students took guns to school and they shot people, many people. Terrible tragedies. So you can think that if we would have a live safety system where people are connected to that building in a live way, we may prevent such accidents from happening because we can react very fast. Anybody who has some kind of feeling that something going wrong can input his or her perception about situation, and immediately all the relevant actors are alarmed. So maybe we could prevent such horrible accidents from happening in a way like this. So basically we are capturing the situation, so we are capturing the context, safety context and safety situation at any certain moment. And how we do it is, we can say that we are using the collective perception, it's like collective intelligence, collective perception of all the people who are the best experts. They are the best experts of telling what is the situation right there, right now, for decision making. And only that in that case we can make very quick decisions what should be done immediately. So I go a little bit back. So what I'm saying that if we use the methods and tools from knowledge service engineering, we can do this. But we have to precisiate on three levels: concept level, domain ontology level, and situation level. Otherwise, we cannot really be quick in decision making. I will not go into the techniques in here, how is it done, but we can. Doctors Andrea Bigfalvi and Nuria Manse, but they have done competence evaluation projects in here in Spain, many of them. So basically, the basic principle is the same. how we evaluate some indicators of concepts. They have done with the project manager's competencies. But in this case, the interface would be much more simple, much more different. You can think of, for example, you have an area, green area, red area, and you just press your thumb. That's it. To really, in a condensed way, to insert or input your perception of safety in your position at any moment. Here is some sample graphs when what you get from ontology-based reasoning. You can think here are the concepts. You can think of concepts of safety ontology on the left side. And on the right side, you could see what is the life situation at any moment, given moment in the building. And anybody in the building can see what is the collective perception of safety in the building. All the time, it's visible to all the building, all the people in the building. It's visible to all the authorities, and so on. So everybody's connected. And finally, there's a picture of, in this case, three different ontologies. I think this was knowledge creation. This was maybe some competence ontology, and another one. So there are eight people. If you think of how eight different people perceive a certain situation at any moment, it's not going to be like this. Everybody has really a unique perception from his or her perspective and time-space point of view. So if we are not try to make attempt to include the human expert network decision making, we are taking a big risk, I think. So these kind of things we are doing in Korea, in Finland, and I hope that we also will be doing together with some of you in the future. So this was quick overview. My email is jussi@kaist.edu, so in case you have any questions or interest or comments, or especially if you want to join this kind of project proposal, please send email to me or Dr. Mansebo. Okay. Thank you. I don't have further. No more slides. I'm sorry, I over time now. Sorry.
Molt bé, doncs, moltes gràcies. Hi ha alguna pregunta?